say that there is a hierarchy of the Megillot that get time spent on them. So obviously the most is Megillus Esther that everyone, yeah, there's not really, I mean, there's a lot of other ways to prepare for Purim, but if you want to prepare spiritually for Purim, you're going to learn the Megillah, right? You can't, I mean, you could cook for your Suda and you can buy things for your Mishloach Manos, but the spiritual preparation is in learning the Megillah. The other Megillos, I always say, sort of get shortchanged because, like, in all honesty, when someone's preparing for Pesach, maybe there are tzidkaniut amongst us who spend a significant amount of time studying Shira Shirim prior to Pesach, but many of us are trying to prepare in many other ways, many of which are spiritual. You're learning ideas on the Haggadah. You are thinking about the matzah and the symbolism behind the different things that you're preparing. You're cleaning out your home for chametz. No one's learning Shira Shirim. Kohelet, nobody talks about. Eicha, it sort of just comes upon you. But Megillas Rosh, I always say, is like somewhere in the middle because there's a lot going on. It's post-Pesach, then it's Sfira, then it's Lag BaOmer, and there's like a lot going on. But also there's no specific mitzvos of the day of Shavuos. So if people want to prepare spiritually, they often do learn a little bit of Megillas Rosh. But I still think it's not quite at Megillat Esther level, but like it's definitely doing better than Eicha. So with that today, though, I wanted to focus a little bit on Megillas Rosh in order to prepare us for Shavuos. And specifically, I wanted to focus on the idea of why do we read Megillas Rosh on Shavuos? Just a quick background of the story of Rosh, just to jog our memories so that when we delve in and we pull out sort of the specific pieces, we have the general context. Megillas Rosh, there is a man named Elimelech and his wife Naomi, and there is a famine in the land of Israel. So them and their two sons uproot themselves and go to live in the land of Moab. In the land of Moab, it does not serve well for Elimelech and the two children. All three of them pass away, and Naomi is left alone with her two daughters-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. They are both Moabite princesses. They are from a distinguished family. And Naomi says, okay, you're going to stay here. And it's about time I go back to Eretz Yisrael, that the famine must be over at this point, and I'm going to head home. Orpah listens to the words of her mother-in-law, but Rus does not. At that point, Rus joins Naomi, and they become a team. They head back to Eretz Yisrael. And when they arrive back in Eretz Yisrael, they have absolutely nothing. Naomi had been married to a very wealthy individual, but now that her husband and two sons had passed away, she has nothing to her name. And one can imagine she is not the most beloved person in the land of Israel because they left during the time of need. So Naomi is there with her daughter-in-law, Rus, who knows nothing of this culture, nothing of this land, and they have nothing to their name. So Rus decides to go to the field. She gathers in a specific field, as we know that there are pieces of the field that are left for the poor. She goes and she gathers in order that they should be able to have food. And in the field, she meets a man named Boaz, who turns out is Naomi's distant cousin. Fast forward in the story, they realize that there is an obligation of Yibum here, that Rus never had children, and therefore her husband's name had never been substantiated, had never been continued on. So we shorten the story here, but she ends up married to Boaz and they have children who continue on Naomi's family. We know that those children eventually lead to the lineage of David HaMelech. So that is the shortened version of Megillas Rosh. So now we are going to ask the question of, this is a great Megillah, a fantastic story, so many things that we can pull apart from it. But why do we read it on Shavuos? There are always things that connect it, whether it's in language, in ideas, in values, that connect the Megillah that we read to the holiday on which it's read. So that's what we are going to delve in today. Three reasons why we read Megillas Rosh on the holiday of Shavuos. So the first reason, I want to begin in Vayikra Yotet. This is in Parshas Kedoshim, where there's just a series of so many laws and ideas. And amongst those laws, we talk about the laws of the field. When you harvest your field, you should not cut the corners of your field. And as you are gathering, if you drop a few sheaves of wheat, up until three, you should not gather them. Now, when you're harvesting, there are certain things that you must do in order to have a Jewish field, like a field that's mindful, not only of how much you're harvesting, but also who else needs to be taken care of. So we say that you don't cut the corners. And if you drop something, you don't pick it up. And those are the things that are left for the poor. So in Rus Parak Bet, Vilana Ami Meida Leisha, Ishki Borchail Mimishpachat Elimelech Ushmo Boaz. And Naomi knew that there was a man in her husband's family whose name was Boaz. Vatomer Rut HaMoavia El Naomi. Rut said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, Elchana Hasadev El Ketaba Shibolem. She says, I am going to go out to the field. Naomi, we have nothing. We can't just sit here and wait for someone to provide for us. We don't have anyone. So she says, Naomi, I am going to go take initiative. I am going to the field. Rus was aware of the fact that there were these laws to provide for the poor people. She says, I'm going to go to the field and I'm going to gather the shibolim achar asher amtzachin be'inav v'tomer la l'chabiti. And this found favor in the eyes of Naomi. And she said, okay, great. Thank you. Please go ahead to the field. So now if we go back to Sefer Shemos. Now keep these things in mind, that we have these rules of what we have to do in the field. And we see those rules put into action in Megillas Rus, that Rus is saying, we are poor, so I am going to go to the field and I'm going to take advantage of Peah, of Leket, of the things that are there in order to provide for us. But now let's add on something additional here before we make this connection. In Shemos Parak Chaf Gimel, Shalosh Regalim Tachog Li Bashana, you should celebrate for me 3 holidays in the year. Echad ha-matzo tishmor shivai yamim tochal matzo kasher tivitich la-mo'id chodesh ha-aviv ki bo yatzata mi-mitraim ve-lo yira'u p'nei reikam. There are 3 shalosh regalim, there are 3 holidays on which you should greet Hashem. The first is Chag HaMatzos, where we celebrate the leaving from Egypt, and this is the holiday on which we eat matzah. V'chag ha-katsir b'kurei ma'asecha asher tizra b'sadecha v'chag ha-asif b'tzis ha-shana b'asbecha ma'asecha min ha-sadeh. Then there's Chag HaKatsir, which is the holiday of harvest. And then there is the holiday of gathering, which is Sukkot. So the Chag HaKatsir is the holiday of Shavuos. And the Chag HaAsif is the holiday of gathering, where you bring things in and see what you have before the end of the year. Shalosh pa'amim b'shana yir'e kol zechorcha p'nei ha'adon Hashem. 3 times a year, you should greet Hashem. So we have Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaKatsir, and Chag HaAsif. So not only do we have these halakot of how we should harvest our fields, and we see how those are brought into action in Megillas Rus, but also we recognize that this is happening during the time of year when they are harvesting. And what is that time of year? That time of year is on Chag HaShavuot. That's why it's called Chag HaKatsir. So again, we have Chag HaShavuot, which is when you are a katsir, when you are harvesting. When you are harvesting, you have to be mindful of these halachot. These halachot come into play in Megillas Rus. So therefore, we can make the connection that the story of Megillas Rus was happening during the time period of Shavuot, because this is when they were harvesting from the field. So this is our first basic connection. We're going to build it up a little bit further, that why do we read Megillas Rus on Chag HaShavuot? Because they happened during the same time that Megillas Rus happens on Shavuot. So just like we read the story of Pesach on Pesach, we're reading one of the stories of Shavuot on Shavuot. But there has to be a slightly deeper reason, because we're not celebrating Shavuot to commemorate what happened to Rus. So it's different in that sense from Pesach, because Pesach, we read the story because that's what we're commemorating. That's why the holiday was established. But here there's something different. So okay, they happened at the same time of year, but let's expand it a little bit further. If we look in Shemos Parak Chaf Gimel, Rishi Bikure Admatcha Tavi Bis Hashem Alokecha. The first of your fruits, so we have another halacha of the field. There are so many mitzvot and halachot that unless we're farmers, that unless we are living in the lifestyle and the way that they were living during the times of the Torah, that it was an agricultural lifestyle, we don't necessarily understand and very rarely have the opportunity to put into practice. So these are many of those halachot that Reishi Bikurei Admatcha Tavi Beis Hashem Elokecha. The beginning of your fruits you should bring to the house of Hashem your God. And then in Bamidbar Chavchat, Ubi Yom HaBikurim Hikravchem Mincha Chadasha LaHashem Ubishvuatichem Mikra Kodesh Yihyeh Lachem Kom Lachas Avoda Lo Ta'asu. So in Shemos we learn that our first fruits we bring to Hashem, but then we say, When do you begin to bring these first fruits? At what time of year? And we find out that that is on Chag HaShavuot. Then on Chag HaShavuot, when you are harvesting, that is when you take the bikurei admatcha, the first fruits of your land, and you bring them to Hashem's house. So, okay, on Shavuot, we have this idea that this is when you are harvesting, and that leads to a few things, that Rus must have been gathering on Shavuot. And then also, Chag HaShavuot is the beginning of when you can bring the Bikurim. So what does the Bikurim have to do with Megillah Esaras, and why we read Megillah Esaras on Shavuos? So the Rambam in Mora Nevuchim, we have it here in English, states, the reciting of a certain portion of the law when the Bikurim first fruits are brought to the temple tends to also create humility. For he who brings the first fruits takes the basket upon his shoulders and proclaims the kindness and the goodness of God. This ceremony teaches man that it is essential in the service of God to remember the times of trouble and the history of past distress in days of comfort. As to the precepts enumerated in the laws concerning the year of release and the Jubilee, some of them imply sympathy within our fellow men to promote the well-being of mankind. For in reference to these precepts, it is stated by the law that the poor of your people may eat. And besides, the land will also increase its produce and improve when it remains fallow for some time. So what is the Rambam saying in Mora Nevuchim? The Rambam saying, why do we bring the Bikurim? And he says all of these, and these, the reason he gives applies not only to Bikurim, but also applies to all of the halachot of harvesting and of planting and of the land. That he says when one has to take the first fruits, that they put in the effort and they put in their time and literally their blood, sweat, and tears, and they finally see those first fruits, to take those fruits and put them into a basket and put it on their shoulders and bring it to Hashem and give it to Hashem and stand before Hashem and say the entire passage that we speak when we give the Bikurim, which is very much one of gratitude to Hashem. When they do all of that, it ingrains within a person a sense of humility that although I may think I was the one who produced these fruits, really what happened here was much beyond me, that this was all the Yad Hashem, this was all the work of God, and all I have is only because of Hashem. And the Rambam takes it further, and he says that, and when one internalizes that, one understands all of the halachot of working the land, that they are all meant to instill within you a certain humility, and also a sense of caring for others, that if this is not really due to my own success, if I didn't really produce what's here in front of me, then who am I to have any more than anyone else? That if someone is in need, I should be the one to share with them. That even though I'm harvesting what I think that I created, really it's not mine. Really it belongs to Hashem, and therefore I must share with those who are less fortunate than I am. So why do we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos? Because this is the time when we're harvesting. That forget about Tzva Matan Toratinu. Right now we're talking about Chag HaKatzir, that Shavuos is celebrating the harvest. And when it comes to celebrating the harvest, we have to think about all these ideas that the Rambam brought up that come along with harvesting. That of recognizing that everything we have comes from Hashem, and that of recognizing how we must care and have concern for those around us who have less than we do. And these are ideals that we see in Megillas Rus, that we see that when Rus joins the Jewish people, she recognizes right away that there is this system in place to care for those who are less fortunate. It's not Naomi who remembers and says, oh, just go and you'll engage in payah and leket, you'll be able to gather from everything that is left behind for you. It's Rus who says, recognize what comes along with the harvest is this care and concern for others. So Megillas Rus, which centers on this idea of what helps Rus, is the care and kindness of others. It's the giving that someone else was able to give to her. That's what she recognizes about the harvest time. So not only did it happen at the same time of year that she was harvesting and it was the time of the harvest, so therefore it's apropos to read something that happens during the harvest on Shavuos, but rather that the ideals and the values that are brought out in Megillas Rus are those that are paralleled and are meant to be understood at the time of the harvesting. So the first approach is that the connection is about the harvest, whether it's in the actual time of year or whether it's with the ideas that come along with harvest time. So that is approach number one. Approach number two is going to take a totally different approach. What happens in the beginning of Megillas Rus? I told you that they were in Moab. Rus and Orpah were Moabi princesses. And next thing we know, she's back in Eretz Yisrael, and she seems to be living as a Jewish woman. So what happened there? In Rus Parak Aleph, we have one of the most famous discussions within Torah, I believe. So they started on their travels back, and Rus and Orpah both stayed with their mother-in-law. But Naomi says, you don't need to come with me. There's not going to be anything there for you. What do I have for you? What? I'm going to have another child and you're going to marry them. I don't have anything here for you. So go back. And Orpah took her words of advice, and Orpah cries and they have a meaningful goodbye, but Orpah returns to her family. However, we have someone a little bit more stubborn around here. Vatomer hine shva yevhemtecha alama ve'el eloheha shuvi achareha yevhemtich. So Naomi looks and Ruth is still standing there. So she says, come on, like your sister already went, like you should probably go back with her. Like, I have nothing here for you. Remember, I just gave you a whole speech, how you should go back to your family. Your sister listened. Why are you still here? So Ruth says, Vatomer Ruth el al tifki bi la'azavich la'shuv me'acharecha ki el asher talchi elich u'ba'asher talini alin amich ami ve'elokayich elokai. Ruth says a beautiful, beautiful pasuk. Do not try to convince me that I should go back any longer. Ki la'asher talchi elich. Wherever you go, I will go. V'asher talini alin. And wherever you rest, I will rest. Amich ami. Your nation is my nation, ve'elokayech elokai, and your God is my God. In Rus Rabbah here, one more pasuk, v'asher tamuti amut, v'asher akaber ko ya'aseh Hashem li, wherever you die, I will die, and wherever you are buried, Hashem will do the same for me. V'chayusif ki amavet yafri b'nei u'b'neich. Only death will separate between the two of us. V'atera ki mitametet hilalachay tita v'techta l'daber aleha. So Naomi recognized she had a stubborn daughter-in-law on her hands, and she said all this, like, I can't force her anymore, I'm just going to give up, and she will come with me. So that is when the Rus and Naomi team is born, and when they journey on their way to Eretz Yisrael. So in Rus Rabbah, in Perek Bet Yudbet, it says, Vatilachna hayuasukot behilchos gerim. When it says that they went, that Naomi finally allowed her to come with her, this means they were discussing the halachot of conversion. What does this mean? Further on in Rus Rabbah in Bet Tedayin, Shovna b'notai lichma Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani b'shem Rabbi Yodan b'Rabbi Chanina b'shalosh mekomok tiv kan. In three places it says, Shovna, 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 go back, go back, go back. Keneged shalosh pa'amim shedochin et hager. This is compared to the three times that we tried to push away the convert. V'im hitriach yoter mikan mekablin oto. And if he persists even beyond these three turning aways, then you should allow him to convert, that he's clearly pretty serious. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak b'chutz lo yalin ger le'olam yehei adam docha b'smol mekarev b'yamin. However, the Medrash ends off that we should never push too hard, that we should never push in a way that's mean or in that's not appropriate, that we should be pushing in one hand, but we should be embracing with the other hand. That we should push them away because this is the nature of how we do our conversions. We don't missionize. We don't go out and we don't try to convert people. When people come in, we try to turn them away. There are mitzvahs that you can keep when you're not Jewish. But if they really, truly do want to come in, we should be cognizant of the fact that as we're pushing them away, we are pulling them in with our other hands as well. Similar to this idea that Naomi pushed away Ruth three times, and when finally she recognized, then she embraced her and brought her along with her. What does this have to do with Shavuot? So we see that this is brought down, and we learn actually practical hilchos geiros, not only in this Midrash and Rus Rabbah that we should push away the ger three times. There are other elements of hilchos geiros that we learn from this conversion of Rus, that we believe that this was the point at which Rus converted to Judaism, that she had previously been a Moaviyah, and now at this point when she says, Amech ami ve'elokayech elokai, your God is my God, your nation is my nation, this was Rus converting to Judaism. Now, what we're not going to discuss right now is how a Moaviyah was able to convert to Judaism, because we say that we do not allow a Moavi bekerav aminu, like we don't let a Moavi into our nation. But that we're not going to discuss right now, but that is an interesting topic, which is, if this was her conversion, then how was it a valid conversion that someone from Moab came into the Jewish people? But it is said that this is the conversion of Rus. So why read it on Shavuos if this is the conversion of Rus? Because Shavuos and Matan Torah signifies our conversion. That prior to this event, we were a people. That God had taken this people, and we had all descended from the same patriarchs and matriarchs. So technically, we were all connected to each other. That's sort of what made us a people. But Hashem had taken us out of Egypt, and that's sort of what caused us to coalesce as a people, that we have been redeemed from Egypt. We had this shared, incredible experience, and now God had taken us out. But when do we become the Jewish people? Only when it comes to Matan Torah. that when we arrive at Matan Torah, that is when we finally receive the mitzvos, we receive the guidebook to our way of life. And that is when we transition from being just a regular group of people and we are converted, quote unquote, to being the Jewish people. When we say Na'aseh V'Nishma, this is our place of accepting upon ourselves the Torah. That Shavuos is the conversion of the entire Jewish people. So therefore, it is appropriate at the time where we mark the conversion of the entire Jewish people, it is appropriate to mark the convert that we can learn from that comes previously, which is we learn from Rus and we read the story of Rus and how she decided to take on Judaism and how we see her embrace our Torah and mitzvos and really embrace the Jewish way of life. And that should serve as an inspiration for us when we are at our conversion point to really think about and internalize what it means to convert and to become the Jewish people. So that is the second connection, that Megillas Rus is a conversion story and the holiday of Shavuos is the conversion of the entire Jewish people. So again, the first two ideas, the first idea is that they happen at the same time period, that they both surround the harvest for all that that means. The second approach is that this is a conversion story, that both Rus and the entire Jewish people convert on Shavuos. Okay, now on to approach number three. So for approach number three, we have to develop it out a little bit more. So we have to look at, this one's going to focus on midos, and what is the essential midah of Rus? So if we look in Rus Rabbah, in Bet Yodalid, Ya'asah Hashem imachem chesed Rav Chanina bar Ada Amar. So when it says that God will deal with you kindly, Rav Chanina bar Ada Amar, Rav Chanina bar Ada says, Ya'asek k'tiv, Kasher asitem im hamitim shenafa nit paltem b'tachritehon, ve'imdi shvitiru la michtuvutehen. Just as, Amar Rav Zeira, Megillah zo im ba lo tuma v'lo tahara, lo iser v'lo heter, v'lama nechteva l'lamdecha kamas char tov l'gom lechasadim. So we don't need the first part of the Midrash, but we're focusing on the second part. Amar Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira teaches us, Megillah zo ein bo tuma o tahara. There's no practical halachot to learn from here. V'lo iser v'hetar, not tuma not tahara, not iser not hetar. There's nothing practically that we're taking lemaisa from Megillah Esra. So why was it written? What's the purpose of it then? V'lama nechteva l'lam decha, to teach us, kama schar tov l'gom lechasadim. How much reward is given to those who do chesed? What does that mean? Who did chesed? Rus did chesed, that she stayed with Naomi. Boaz did chesed, that he was willing to redeem Rus. There is a lot of chesed that goes on in Megillas Rus. But what we're going to specifically see is that we're not going to focus so much on Boaz's chesed, but we're really going to focus on Rus's chesed. That this is the midah that she was an exemplar of, that she was truly a Ba'alas chesed. Where do we see this? We see it in a number of different places in the Megillah. The first we see in Parak Aleph Pasuk Chet, Vatomer Naomi L'Sheikha Lotaha, Lech Nashona Isha L'Bita Imaya Asa Hashem, Imacham Chesed Kasher Asita Mimimitim Ve'imadi. Rus says, go back, return to your land, go back to your beautiful lives, you don't need me. However, they stay. Orpah goes back, but Rus decides to stay. Even though Naomi says, Hashem should reward you, you already did so much chesed for me, you were married into our family, you did so much good for the mason and for me, like you don't need to continue on from here. However, Rus, as we know, decides to come back, and that was a really big decision. She was going back with a single woman who was probably disliked by pretty much everyone who she used to know. That a single woman at that time had no way of supporting herself either way. So Kal v'chomer, someone who was a single woman, but also, and had no children, and also was someone who was disliked by the people around her. Like, this was not setting herself up for a good situation. But Rus recognized that there was some important chesed to do here, that Naomi was going to need her, that a single woman left on her own is in pretty dire states. But a woman who has a younger woman who can come along with her, who can go out and collect and can be there for her, that person is going to have a much larger chance of success. So Rus engages in this initial chesed way in the beginning of the Megillah, where she makes this huge step to come back with Naomi. Also, we see later on in Rosh Parak Bet Pasachah, Vatomer Na'ami Lakaluta, Baruch Hula Hashem Asher Lo Azav Chaso, Etachayim Vetamisim, Vatomer La Na'ami, Karuvanu Ha'ish Miga Alinuhu. Na'ami realizes when Rus comes home and says, I met this nice man, his name is Boaz, he fed me, he gave us from the field, such a nice person. And Na'ami has this tremendous realization that this is Boaz, this is their cousin, this is someone who is going to be able to perform a tremendous chesed that we talk about here, that Hashem has not abandoned his chesed, that Hashem is giving chesed, and that what Boaz is going to do here is going to be a tremendous chesed, that he is going to redeem Rus, that either he is going to be the one to marry her, or he can choose to free her from her obligation to marry into the family. And that is going to be a tremendous, tremendous chesed. We also see not only from Rus to Na'ami, not only from Boaz to not only Na'ami talking about what Boaz is going to do, but between Rus and Boaz, we also see the mention of chesed. Vayomer brucha at la Hashem, you are blessed to Hashem, biti hitavta chastecha ha'acharon min harishon. You have shown more kindness in the end than in the beginning. Lebilti lechad acharei habachurim imdal ve'im yashir. Rus, you have showed so much chesed to our family that you didn't go off. You're the princess. You could have gone with any wealthy, fancy guy, but instead you decided to stay within our family because there's an obligation to perpetuate your husband and your family's names. Therefore, Boaz says, thank you so much for the chesed that you have done for our family. So again, Rus does chesed for Na'ami. Boaz is going to do chesed for Rus. Rus is doing chesed for the entire family. And so we see that chesed seems to be a theme throughout the entire sefer, that there is constantly this idea threading throughout the sefer of giving to one another. Rus is also called a devuka. What is a devuka? In Rus Aleph Yadalid, Vatisena Kulan Vativchena Od. So they broke into weeping again. Vatishak Orpa Lachamotav Rut Dafkaba. So when it says that Orpa returned to her family, it specifically says Virus Dafkaba, and Rus clinged to her. The Gemara in Sota says Vayaplu Bis David Vibis Avadav Dichtiv. Vatishak Orpa Lachamotav Virut Dafkaba Amara Biitzlak Amara Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yavohu Bnei Hanishuka Vayaplu Biyad Bnei Hadivuka. The children, the offspring of the Nishuka, the one who was willing to kiss and bid farewell, will fall in the hands of the Divuka, will fall in the hands of the one that clung. Darash Rabba Bishar Arba Dmaut Shehuridu Orpa Al Chamuta Zachtav Yatsu Mimena Arba Giborim Shene'emar Vatisena Kula V'Tivchena Od. So Orpa merits to have four great offspring from the four tears that she shed at this moment. But what we want to focus in on right now is not on the Orpa part, but on the Divuka part. The fact that Rus is considered to be this Divuka, one that clings. So Rut is referred to as a Divuka, one who clings, and she is able to be so connected to others, even though she lived in a time when everyone was so separate from one another. That it says in the beginning of Megillas Rus, in the very first pasuk, "Vayhi b'meshvura shoftim, vayhi rav ba'aretz, vayilach ish mibeis lacham Yehuda lagor b'stei Moav, hu v'ishto u'shnei banav." Way at the beginning of this Megillah, when it all starts off, it talks about how disparate each part of the nation was. Ish hayashar be'inav ya'aseh, like the days of the shoftim, that everyone did absolutely whatever they want. So this person followed this way, and this person followed this way, and there was no strong leadership, and there was no unity in the nation. And we see that Elimelech, who was the epitome of someone who could have helped the nation, he was a gibor, he was an ish, he was an important person, and he abandoned the nation at this time. There was nothing that kept them stuck together. This is the same parallel in Sefer Shoftim v'Yamim Ha'im, in Melech b'Yisrael ish hayashar be'inav ya'aseh. That it was at this time that there was no unity among Am Yisrael, that everybody does whatever's best for them, that there is no connection between everyone. And at this time, this sense of feeling so disconnected from one another, Rus comes in and she is the divuka, like devek. She's the glue. She's the one who does chesed, which connects one person to another. Chesed is the thing that unifies people. That we always say that, unfortunately, Emir Tashem, we should never know from this again. But when there is a tragedy in Am Yisrael, that's what breaks down the barriers within our nation. That's what unites the guy wearing the strimal with the guy in the kippah sruga. That's what unites the Chiloni with the Haredi. That's what unites everybody together. Because when one is giving to somebody else, that's what connects us as a people. And the Torah Tamima gives us an idea on this fact that Rus was a woman of Chesed. And the Torah Tamima tells us, Mahu Shem Rus? What is the name Rus? Shera'ata divrei chamota. That she saw in what her mother-in-law needed. So Rus comes from Ra'ata, that she saw what her mother-in-law needed. Ritzono lomar, shekibla alaha kol divrei chamota, she'ima alaha bidvar hagiras. She accepted upon herself all the words of her mother-in-law at the time of her conversion. Kifi shevo behemshach haparsha, vidrish rush melashon ra'ot gam kein b'chisaron aleph, v'yish la ha'ir. Shadarshu kanu bedrasha hakudemet, Hashem Rus beramazim dakim, velama lo darshu ad remez af inyana beparsha zo shenitz gaira venitosif la, bezem mispar mitzvot shel sheva mitzvot v'nei noach, shahayu lamikudim mispar tafreshvav, kimispar Hashem Rus tashlim taryag. So it's saying when Rus converted from who she was before, and it's going through the different significances of the names and the gematrias, and that's not so important for us right now. But what we're saying is that Rus was someone who, even at her core, was ra'ata bidivrei chamota, that she felt for her mother-in-law's plight. That this was her essence, was that she saw what others needed and she was there to provide for it. So what we see is that Megillas Rus is all about a story of chesed. It's in the beginning we see such separation, and it is immediately beginning to be healed when we see the chesed begin. That Rus goes with her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law cares for Rus, and Rus goes to Boaz's field, and she does this tremendous chesed for Naomi's family, and Boaz does this tremendous chesed for Rus, and the entire Megillah is centered around chesed, giving and giving to others, connecting others, and there's an entire discussion of this idea of unity on Shavuos. But this one, we're going to go with the chesed of Rus. That Rus is this one who is someone who shows us what it means to give to another. So what does this have to do with Shavuos? That's so beautiful that there's chesed in Megillas Rus. But what's the chesed in Shavuos? So we see in Bereishis Aleph Chaf Vav, Vayomer Elokim Na'asa Adam B'Talminu Kidmutinu, Vayardu B'Dagat Hayam U'Ba'op HaShamayim U'Behima V'Chol Ha'aretz U'Bechol HaRemesh HaRomeshah Ha'aretz. When Hashem is creating man, he says, Na'asa Adam, let us make man B'Talminu Kidmutinu, in our image. So we all know that we are created B'Tselem Elokim, that we are created in whatever this means, in however we can understand it. We are created in the image of God. And in Sefer Devarim, there is an idea that quotes, there is a pasuk that says that we have a mitzvah of V'halachta B'drachav, that we have to walk in the ways of Hashem, that Hashem acts in a certain way in the world, V'halachta B'drachav, we must follow his ways. And the Rambam explains this halacha, V'halachta B'drachav, kach lamdu b'perish mitzvah zo. How do we explain this mitzvah? Mahu nikra chanan afatachanan. And this is an idea we've discussed previously, that what does it mean, V'halachta B'drachav, that we must not only walk in the ways of Hashem, that Hashem gives us certain mitzvahs that we must follow, rather we must seek to emulate God. That we must seek to act like God, not just in the ways that Hashem has prescribed to us, but in the way that God acts, so too we should try to act as well. So mahu nikra chanan, afatachanan, just like he has compassion, so too you should have compassion. Ma nikra racham, afatarachem, just like you have empathy, so too just like Hashem is empathetic, so too you should be empathetic. Mahu nikra kadosh, af ata heye kadosh. Just like Hashem is holy, and this is an idea brought up often in Parshas Kedoshim, where it ends off, Ani Hashem Elokecham, each pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokecham, that just like Hashem is holy, so too we should strive for holiness. So we see this idea that Hashem created us, B'Tzalmo B'Dmuto, in his image, in his vision, and that we are also commanded, not only that we know that this is how we started off in connection and in comparison with God, but also we have a direct commandment of a halachta b'drachav, that we must embrace this inner divinity within us and use it to shape and mold the way that we behave, that we are meant to act in the ways that Hashem acts. So now, what does that have to do with Shavuos? So how do we learn how to do this? How do we become people who emulate God? And the key is that we look at the signs from Hashem of how Hashem acts and how Hashem wants us to act. And then we are able to internalize those and we are able to emulate God. So the Gemara in Sota teaches us that the essence of not only Megillas Rus, but also the essence of Torah is in fact Chesed. Darash Rabbi Simlai, Torah tchilat hagmilas chasadim v'sofag milas chasadim. The Torah begins with gemilas chasadim and it ends with gemilas chasadim. Tchilat hagmilas chasadim dechtiv v'yas Hashem Elokim la'adam u'li'ishto ketonet or v'yal b'shem. What is the chesed that we see at the beginning of the Torah? That Hashem creates clothing for Adam and Chava and he clothes them. V'sofag milas chasadim, what is the end of the Torah that we see as gemilas chasadim? Dichtiv v'yikaber oto begai. That Hashem ends off the Torah by burying Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see that the Torah, its essence is chesed. And therefore, if we know that we are created in the way of Hashem and we are instructed to follow in Hashem's ways, then if the entire Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed, then the messages, among obviously many other messages that we are meant to internalize from the Torah, is this idea of chesed. That this is an idea that this is integral to Torah and this is integral with the way Hashem interacts with us and therefore how we are meant to interact with others. So the third approach that I would like to suggest, which is why do we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos? Because this is the holiday when we receive the Torah from Hashem. This is when we receive those messages that Hashem wants to send us for the very first time. That Hashem wants to give us this Torah, which is going to be a guidebook for life, not only in the technical halachot, but in the greater essence of what the Torah means. And what we're saying now is that the core of that is chesed, and the core of Megillas Rus as well is chesed. So that from both of these, we are meant to learn the importance of doing chesed, the importance of giving to others, and how much chesed is an integral part of living as Jewish people. That without chesed, it's not like we just didn't take, I don't know, check our clothes for shatness. That is a specific halacha. Chesed is not something so specific like that, but rather we see from each of the Torah itself, and specifically Megillas Rus, how chesed permeates into everything that we do. That it's not just a specific halacha or a specific instruction, but rather it is an all-encompassing, all-permeating way of being. So we learn that from the Torah and we learn that from Megillas Rus. And therefore, when we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos, it's meant to bring out this element from the Torah. That we're not just supposed to focus on all the halachot that the Torah gives over to us, but on Chag Matan Torah Tinu, we are meant to also recognize the core internal values of the Torah. So again, to recap our three approaches, the first approach, why do we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos, is because they both happen at the time of the harvest. Shavuos is celebrating the harvest. Megillas Rus happens at the time of the harvest. And that is meant to call to our attention not only the same time of year and draw that connection, but also the ideas and the values that are found in harvesting time that we are meant to think at that time. The second approach is that this is the story of Megillas Rus is the story of the conversion of Rus HaMoaviyah to Judaism. And it is also, Chag HaShavuos is the our time of conversion as just any regular people to the Jewish people. That this is when we all converted. So therefore we read the conversion story of Rus at the time when we are commemorating our conversion to Judaism. And last but definitely not least, the Megillas Rus is exemplified, encompasses within it so many ideas about chesed, that Rus is a woman of chesed. And throughout the entire Megillah, we see laced how chesed really directs the entire storyline. And this is meant to pull out from the Torah that we are given on Shavuos, the idea of chesed, that when we received the Torah at Har Sinai, it was not just a list of rules and regulations, but also it was values. It was a way of life. It was the instruction manual, how we can act and embrace the divinity within us. And when we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos and it brings out this theme of chesed, it hopefully helps us to bring out this idea from the Torah and internalize that on Shavuot as well. So Birt Hashem, as we enter into the holiday of Shavuot, may it be a time where we are able to celebrate the chesed within Am Yisrael, that we are able to recognize the values of Torah, the values that Torah gives over to us. The ability to walk in Hashem's ways that we were imparted with and that we were charged with at Har Sinai. May we be able to embrace this as our time of honing ourselves, as we talked about with the Bikurim, that it helps make us into more compassionate, more giving people. And last but definitely not least, appreciate and celebrate this as the time that we became the Jewish people.